Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the second edition of the Accursed Race, brought to you by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. Day 9 in the Accursed Mountains, and today we expect to see more riders arrive at the finish line in Škoda. At midnight, Control Point 2 will close for the last time, which means those riders at the back of the race will need to reach Peshkopi before then to stay on course for a general classification finish. But before we get to today's action, let's go back to late last night, when at 10:14 p.m, Andy Dodd, cap number 6, finished his accursed journey in 5th position.
Hey man, well done. Oh,
thank you very much. Thank you. What a route. I was a little sceptical of that last climb when it started out. I was like, oh no, here we go. Maybe I'll make it back today.
How's the body holding up?
The body is surprisingly good, actually. I've got my right Achilles feeling it a little bit, but I was before the race, having spent 6 months on the bike, and then my left knee. But I think that's down to just minor cleat alignment from having new shoes 2 days before the race.
Just a couple of hours later, Daniel Perotti, cap 15, celebrated his birthday by rolling into Škoda to take 6th position. The team stayed up to welcome him with a cake and a sing-song.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Daniel. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Well done, man. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome.
You pretty happy with how the race went?
Well, we all know about the little adventure.
Apart from the Dimitor misadventure.
No, it was super intense. I think I need to gather my thoughts a bit till another day. But it was more intense than the others it's the same concept, it's the same experience, the same things that matter to me. But there were a couple of times which were much more extreme. Let's put it this way. Not sure whether there is a deeper thing to that, but it was just much more extreme. I was thinking before that life is gonna get a lot more complicated again, because on the bike, everything has its place. You have everything on the bike. You have one mission. And then you come here, and now I have to think of so many things. There is a bag downstairs with a lot of stuff, and I need to take care of logistics and this and that, and I don't know what. Yeah, on the bike, life is easy. You need to eat, drink, and catch miles. So, yeah.
Let's get to this morning and day 9. Tom Probert, race reporter.
Welcome to day 9 on the Accursed Race. I'm going to be in Peshkopi today at Control Point 2, waiting for our final riders to come through the control point. After a gorgeous day yesterday, things have really taken a turn for the worse here for the riders, and some fairly heavy and consistent rain has set in. It's been raining now for the past hour at least, and the forecast isn't showing any signs of that letting up throughout the whole day, basically. And if anything, it might be getting worse and more stormy, with thunder and lightning in the region forecast for this afternoon. We've got 6 riders still out there and en route to the control point currently. In theory, they should all make it in today before the cutoff tonight at midnight, but these conditions are going to make it more tough for them. If it gets really heavy, they might get pinned down and have to find shelter for periods of time, and they might have to shelter and find safety from lightning if that materializes this afternoon as well. And then also just the sheer amount of water, as we've already been hearing, is making the trail more difficult to ride, more muddy, more slippery, and therefore slower. So what looked like maybe about 3 hour buffer that our backmarkers Michael and Torsten had, that 3 hours could kind of start to get eaten into if they're slowing down because of the conditions.
While waiting for riders to arrive at control point two, Tom starts chatting to a pair of bike tourists who are taking a more leisurely approach than the riders of the Accursed.
I'm Alice Williams, I'm from Germany, and I'm his daughter.
Yes, I'm Dietmar. I'm an old man, becoming grandfather soon.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And I'm very, very glad to have my daughter Alice with me, looking after me on the cycling trip.
What are your impressions of our riders? You've just been sitting, chatting to some of them this morning in the cafe.
Yeah, it's really cool. I really want to join them. It seems like a cool thing to do such a race. So I'm going to maybe plan that in the future. But it seems very challenging and exciting to just get on with it, travel, and whatever happens, you must pull through and get going again. Yeah, doesn't matter what the weather is. Cycle.
Yeah, I think what makes a difference to what we do is really this race atmosphere, because you could feel they were just stopping, filling up and going because they were in this race mood. And while we have a coffee more, and because we don't have this time pressure, although we would like to from a sportive perspective, but it is just more leisurely.
Yes, because it's our holiday, it's not a race, it's we do this for fun. I mean, they do it for fun as well, but I don't know, it seems like we just try to take it easy. But maybe next time a little more sportive atmosphere.
The first rider to arrive at control point two today is Marku Lepala, cap number four.
Can you describe what it was like going over that rocky riverbed?
Of course, I didn't mind the hiker bike at all. Like, I've been hiking with the bike with my bike already here quite a lot, and I think it's really efficient for me to kind of balance out the muscle usage, because it uses still using different muscles, and I can leverage my backcountry ski training from the winter. But that wasn't that bad at all, and I had a good shoes for it, so I didn't have like carbon sole ones, but just the kind of hiker bike shoes. So it was nice. So, but of course, then the downhill, I hoped fast descending, rolling hill down here to Peshkopi, but of course the rain came, and so there were a lot of mud and slippery stones and a lot of I was either avoiding rocks or then the puddles. So.
Next into Peshkopi is James van der Horn, cap 22, who arrives armed with the kind of elite cycling equipment needed for a challenge like the Accursed.
Oh, it's quite a lengthy old spoon.
It's a long spoon which you can use for tuna, yogurt, sardines, anything you actually want to eat.
Can you show me at the camera, right? Real day
cereal. Wow. It weighs nothing, it's titanium.
This is the one that you were saying you also use it to clean your bike.
Yeah, you scrape out mud from there. You can get it around that end, really great for getting it around the chain or around all sorts of stuff. It's great for cleaning the mud off.
Then you can exfoliate your teeth with it after.
It's multi-use.
Yeah, amazing.
I feel how light it is.
Extra flavouring.
It's great. Crazy not to carry that.
Will you
that.
Miss it if I keep it? It'll be pretty sad.
Yeah. Okay, well there you go, you can have it back.
Thank you.
Please don't drop that.
It's very, very useful. I think everyone should.
See how attached you are to that. I'd hate for you.
No, I've had little tins of tuna with it and sardines, and if you find a yogurt you want to eat and it hasn't got anything, it's like, well, I wish I had a spoon.
Andrew Hatton, cap number four, arrives at CP2 just 7 minutes after James.
If I'm honest, I've slept 1 hour in the last 24 hours.
Okay.
Because I had to take my bike to the bike shop and things like that.
What happened
there? I had a bit of catching up to. My seat post, you remember that was problematic. So in Kosovo, at the bottom of the climb, basically the clamp just wasn't holding properly. So I was a bit worried about that. So I took the clamp away and then just cable tied the seat post.
Yeah.
And then thought, well, let's see how far I can get like this. Literally 100 metres after doing that, I bumped into Benito, a Kosovan bike mechanic who runs a kind of, I think it's like a lawnmower business in a bike shop. And he was so lovely. He basically, with great gusto and glee, cut all the cable ties off, reached into his, most of his tools seemed to be on the floor, reached into his tool bag. And I think, I wasn't paying that much attention, but I think he basically found a new bolt and fixed my seat post for me. He then got some very agricultural looking oil and oiled my chain. And in a minute, have a look at my, although it's been raining, basically it looked like it'd been coated in bitumen, but it's been very effective.
So you've got some Kosovan tractor oil.
Yes. And he gave me a can of, it's not Red Bull, but it's Eagle, is it?
Oh, yes, the Balkan equivalent.
He gave me a can of Eagle for, you know, good luck. But he was so, so nice.
How did you bump into Benito?
I saw a load of bikes outside a building.
Yeah.
So we took a selfie together. He wanted to do that, actually. Yeah. Wasn't my request.
It's been a really soggy day in the area around Peshkopi, and the rocky road into town is proving a challenge for our riders. However, Francois Bruyere makes it to CP2 with hours to spare before the midnight cutoff for general classification.
You've just resupplied in Peshkopi here. You've filled your backpack full of food. What kind of stuff are you craving at the moment?
Sneakers, yeah. A lot. Milka chocolate. I still have some cans, small can of tuna with me, like this. It changed a bit, and only sweets, only snacks. And I'm gonna eat something if I see a small restaurant or something. I'm gonna get some.
How are you feeling in general?
Now?
Yeah.
Low.
Are you?
Low battery. This morning, low mindset, but it's nice to see people actually, because you are 99% of your time alone. So when it's sunny, that's okay. Completely okay. I'm kind of an introverted person, but I realize that sharing with people is really nice. So you cannot keep it for yourself. So now I just want to finish. I'm not looking that much on the landscape like I used to for the 5 or 6 first days.
Okay.
Now I just go straight and I focus on the kilometers going.
Yeah.
So now I just want to finish.
We have a slightly different setup today at the control point, and it's been fantastic so far this morning. Whereas yesterday we were sprawled out on the terrace in the sun. Today, because of the rain, we've moved inside into the little cafe bar, and a combination of that, and we've met these two German cycle tourers who are a father and daughter pair. They're super friendly, and they've been hanging out with us all morning. They're extremely interested and curious about the race, and they've been enjoying chatting to some of the riders that have come in. And we've had already 3 riders turn up in close succession, so they're all here at the same time, which always creates like a really cool atmosphere. There's a lot of locals in this bar as well, so they're all quite curious about what's happening. And then there's also been a music video being filmed just behind the cafe. There's a museum that's got quite a grand looking entrance, and there's an older gentleman with an ample gut, let's say, who I think is, you know, fairly big news in the Albanian sort of traditional music scene. It's been really, really fun. Everyone here's on a real high. It's great, and I think it's actually helping the riders quite a lot when they come in, because you know, it's a really tough section, and the difference between the guys that were coming in late at night last night, when they were arriving at basically an empty hotel in the dark. It was quite a bleak scene for them to arrive at, not much kind of emotional comfort for them, whereas today is completely the opposite. And I can just see Francois now sitting at the table, sipping on his hot chocolate and chatting to this German family, and they're all smiling and trading stories from the road. And I think the riders are really kind of benefiting from that. And that's what you want from a control point. It's a little sanctuary in the middle of a lot of adversity, and you're putting yourself through a lot of stress. And this is like just a point where you can have a bit of relief from that stress and a mental and emotional reset, as well as being able to resupply with food and have a rest. It's helpful for riders to have a bit of social contact as well.
Race photographer Mike Drummond has been out in the rough weather to shoot the riders on the approach to CP2.
Been out in the wilderness for how long? A couple of days now?
2 days, yeah.
2 days. So you set off from Peshkopi and you've ridden back along the track from where our riders are riding through. But you've been riding some of the actual course, I imagine, so you've got an idea of what the riders are tackling.
Yeah, absolutely. The climb out of Fuchsalur, which kind of is about 40 miles in towards Peshkopi, takes on some really rough track. Some of it's beautiful, you go past a lake, there's some really fun descents, but the way up is full of boulders. Today especially, I would have thought it's running down with lots of torrents of water, and slippery. You've got to be pretty careful, I'd say.
Yeah, and you've just arrived back in town, you're covered in mud and absolutely soaking wet. The weather's really changed, hasn't it, since you left?
Absolutely.
How do you think that's going to change things for the riders?
Well, I mean, considering, if people slowed down yesterday to try and, get supplies in Fuchsalur, they'll be kicking themselves, because yesterday was gorgeous and it was dry all the way through the night. Today, a thunderstorm's come in and, it's going to make things heavy going. There's a bit of a headwind as well, unfortunately, in that direction. So whoever's going to be descending is going to be tackling both wind, rain and a headwind. Mm. Wait, wind, rain, headwind. Anything else? Animals, potentially.
And darkness, I guess, later on when our two backmarkers are coming through.
And the last thing I just photographed was the two riders heading into Fuchsalur. And that must have been about 3.5-4 hours ago now. Mm. So they've got a good 7-hour stint until they reach CP2.
As more riders arrive at the finish, that familiar post-race buzz is beginning to emerge. Those already there are joined by Florian Puchel, Cap 3, who takes 7th position.
Hello Florian, congratulations, how are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great, I'm very happy to be here.
Good, yeah, we're happy to welcome you.
Yeah, I was looking forward to being at the hostel the whole time. Just coming home.
It really does, doesn't it? Yeah. We thought that when we got back in Skoda.
Yeah.
And how was the ride?
Mostly fun, really. I was riding so many things that I couldn't last year. And the last 2 days, or it's a little bit blurry, 2.5 days, I was really racing, actually. Not just trying to finish and just doing my thing, which I did before, but actually to race other guys, and I managed to do so quite successfully. I'm super happy.
Amazing. Yeah, we were talking earlier in the car about how good it was to see you back, having DNF'd last year, and then spent a year working on your skills and improving and changing your bike and all that kind of stuff, and coming back and being able to conquer it.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I really put a lot of effort in it, and just worked out really, really well. The bike had only one malfunction when the fork lost the pressure and just sagged down. That was probably because of all the snow and the ice and the build-up that maybe pushed in a ceiling or something. But other than that, I didn't have one flat tire. I didn't even have to top up the air for the tubeless.
The next rider to roll into Skoda, just a couple of hours later, is Martin Hilgers, Cap 28, who, despite facing several mechanical problems, dug deep and found the motivation to improvise and manoeuvre his way to the finish line.
Yeah, scratching was not an option. Even 300 kilometres before Skoda, I said, when I walk, that I have enough time to walk to achieve Skoda. It was not an option. My life is not Yeah. I never scratch. I get to it. I get to it. Always the problems, the technical problems, which we come, and then it's life. It's I had a fixed plan, and with these technical problems that come, you have to rethink about it. That you don't get always what you want to. But I always believed that one step after the other.
Well, you made it, and you can be really proud of that.
It's late on day 9. Tom is at CP2 with the midnight cutoff time looming.
It's 11:15 p.m. here in Peshkopi at control point 2. The control point closes at midnight, so in 45 minutes' time, and we're here waiting for our final active rider out on the course to come in. That's Torsten Brunner, cap number 35. So it's going to be pretty tight. He's got no room for error here at all. If anything goes wrong or he takes his eye off the ball at all, he might well miss the control point cutoff. He's been riding consistently all day since 5 a.m, so it's been a long day out there for him, and we know that this last section into the control point is very difficult, very challenging, very slow. I say our final active rider because we do have another rider out there, Michael Fedora, and those two had been riding pretty closely as our two backmarkers, but unfortunately this afternoon Michael's tail fin malfunctioned or snapped. It's broken in some way that means it's made it impossible for him to actually ride the bike, and we think that he's been pushing it for some amount of the segment today. We're not 100% sure what the situation is, but it looks like he's stop for the day. I imagine he's probably found somewhere to sleep, and he'll try and work out a plan for what to do tomorrow. But either way, it looked like both of them were going to be able to get through when we were checking the tracker earlier today. And now, unfortunately, it's only going to be one of them in with a chance, and that's Torsten. So let's see how he gets on, and hopefully he'll be coming up this marble floored boulevard lined with lights within the next sort of half an hour or so.
The travel hostel in Škoda is going to get busier and busier over the next 2 days as more riders wrap up their accursed adventure. Race coordinator David Eyre sums up the mood as we enter the final phase of the race.
We are at the finish line at Traveller Hostel in Škoda. So the team, myself, Andrew, the race reporter, and Matt, the photographer, have been out on the roads today, chasing a couple of riders in. We have a couple more riders in the next few hours who are due to come in. So the next rider to arrive, probably in about half an hour's time now, is Martin Novak. He's ridden really consistently over the course of the race, although we're currently flying slightly blind with Martin as his tracker has run out of battery. So we're all having to place our best guess as to when exactly he's going to arrive. And then not far behind him is Alan Rumpf. Alan is due in the early hours of tomorrow morning, so we will be setting our alarms for what might feel like the middle of the night for a couple of the volunteers and myself to get up and have a conversation with him when he arrives. So we're expecting a significant number of riders to come through the finish line tomorrow, looking forward to welcoming them in, and the team in the other control car will be making their way up through the race as well, and back towards Škoda. So we'll have a full team together again in the not too distant future, which will be really nice, ahead of the finishers party on Friday, which starts at 7 p.m.
Join us in the next episode to find out if Torsten Brunner did indeed make it to CP2 before the cutoff time, and to see how many riders can finally reach the finish line, get off the trails, and enter recovery mode. Many stories from the accursed are now complete, but with riders still out on the route, there are no doubt more tales to tell in the next couple of days. You can read daily race reports from the road and get updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.